Okay, so I have tons of material to show, and I obviously don't have enough time to do it. But basically, I'm going to try to talk about telepresence and interactive systems. And these are this particular project, starting off with telepresence, is more of a recent thing. Telepresence, for those of you who have not participated in something like it before, is actually real-time simultaneous performance in more than one location. There's obvious issues with that. If you're doing something with someone, let's say in New York and California, you've already got 3-hour time difference, but you factor that issue into it. Dance basically is within a landscape of responsive technologies. That means that there are probably multiple cameras, there's a projector, there's audio, there's different kinds of situations that respond to the intention and the initiation of movement. When I say intention, that relates to making sure that the people who are doing the interactive, running the interactive camera or something, knows about the choreography and what's happening there. So I'll say more about that in a minute. One of the things that I'm looking at is the practice of distributed choreography. So that means that if something is created, it actually gets distributed to other spaces in by some method. And whether it's the video or audio or pre-recorded material. So these are some of the projects that we've done over the last couple of years that are telepresence performances. The Cassandra project started in 96, and that was started between Vancouver and New York and the Netherlands. And we used something very simple at the time. And I'm only mentioning this for historical purposes, that we started off with a very low-end technology called CUCME. Some of you might remember that. And it was really slow, and we had to deal with all the gaps in the sound and the movement, but that became part of the piece, what was missing and what were the voids in between. And when we started working, we worked with dancers and from an improvisation point of view. That's basically how I work, is through improvisation. And performing improvisation, it's harder to actually have choreographed events, but we're working more and more towards that in these big collaborations. Visual artists, musicians, and poets were part of that. And this was, I know it's hard to see, but it shows you some of the early documentation that it was even hard then to kind of get a sense of what was happening. This is a CUCME screen image that was in a theater at a gallery for the New Forms Festival in Vancouver. And that's these are the images that went from Canada to New York and were projected into a stage in New York. These are the pre-recorded material. I had been working outdoors. I had concepts of burial and things. So there was a live camera outdoor in an outdoor space as well being projected into that theater. Janu's Ghost Stories was another telematic performance between California and Arizona. And by this time, a few years later, we were able to use some new video teleconferencing technology, a little bit faster, 1 megabyte. And there were dancers at UCI and in Arizona, a musician at one site, and the sound filtered through both sites rather than having musicians at both sites. Exploring issues of representation and containment and breaking boundaries, and some of that will be seen in some photographs that I'll show in a little while. This is early stage of a map that requires, so you get an understanding of how it actually goes from one site to another. You have a dancer body. You can see on both sides you have dancers' bodies, and you have a video camera that's pointing towards the dancer. Can everybody see those? Yeah? Okay, so the video cameras are then fed into a video switcher, and the video switcher goes to a video player. So all of these together, you can swap with the video switcher. In those days, we swapped from real-time activity to pre-recorded, and then would make some decisions about what we would send over to Arizona. Likewise, they would have the two dancers there, two cameras in Arizona, one for each dancer, And then all of that is connected to a video switcher, and then it goes into the monitor. So we have a two-way channel there. And this, because nobody that we knew of at that time was doing this kind of work, we had to relegate ourselves to a computer lab. And so that's one dancer sitting on a lab, a table in a laboratory, because they wouldn't give me any other space. but in Arizona, we got a theater. So the woman in the foreground, that's one of our students, Laura, she is performing, and the person in the background is in California. The orange material or the red material, this is Laura now in Arizona, that's real-time images that are being picked up, that is, are being generated through Laura's movement and motion, and it gets translated into her outline. So she's actually performing with the people in California as well as with her own image representation. And so here's a different kind of screenshot where you see her in performance, really small space, but she's interacting with her own virtual image. And these are some manipulations that happen along the way, and they just kind of going through some of those. We're trying to attach some of this kind of responsiveness to motion capture data, so you can see that how that worked out then. Those are all in the year like 1999 and 2000. Songs of Sorrow, Songs of Hope was between New York and California. Here we now have Internet 2, which is a research channel mostly accessible to universities. It's now, we're up to 10 megabytes, and that means that we get pretty much almost real-time sound and movement together. Whereas before we had lots of gaps, now we're starting to not have the gaps. And we were responding to the events of September 11th, and we had an orchestra in New York at NYU, and a few musicians on stage in California. I have a video of that, but I'm not going to show it right now. Let's see. Reverse Patterns was a very big project connecting Florida, Ohio, Illinois, and Oklahoma. And this is the behind the scenes. As you can see, there's a lot of development from the previous map. only a few years later. Down on the bottom, you see the squares. It says UC Irvine, then California and Hayward. That's another town that's in the Northern California. Miami, Cleveland, Illinois, and Oklahoma. All of those people, all of those places had a box at the stage in this Bing Theater in Los Angeles. And here what you have is our dancers at UCI behind the scenes. We're like green screen, green room. You know, they're moving, and the screen in the background there is actually what's going to the Bing Theater. And so this is what they see in Los Angeles. We're behind the scenes and they're getting this information. They never see the live person. They only see the video real-time manipulation of that. And this is, the dancer is generating this material along with the visual artist who is on the computer. All right, so this is mocap data, motion capture data that's being combined with active space, and that's also going into the Bing Theater. This is more imagery of that performance. Night driving, here's a live stage performance. We're not doing telepresence here, but it can be done telematically. This long line on the side, on the left side here, that's a screen. That's called a silver shark's tooth scrim. And we're projecting onto that scrim. And behind that, the two little boxes are risers for the dancers. And then the one big square in the back is another riser for more dancers. And above that big riser that's upstage, there's four cameras that can pick up images in the dark. They're surveillance cameras. So all of that material behind the scrim gets, see that long line there? It goes into the projector behind the audience on the right-hand side of the screen, and then gets projected onto the shark's tooth scrim. So I can show you, I have a video of that performance. It's quite very, very immersive when you get into watching that one. Utu is a performance that we did with Santa Cruz, UC Santa Cruz. And as you can see, there's several different kinds of cameras. Some of them are with a roving head. Some are still still cameras, but it all depends on where the dancer is in relationship to those cameras. These are our students behind the scenes. There's three screens you can kind of see in the back. Let me move it up a little bit. There's screens in the back, and each one is being projected into a theater in Santa Cruz. And I think what I'll do here, actually, is just go through these images really quickly and then get to, let me see. Okay, I want to explain for a minute the difference between motion tracking and motion capture. Motion capture, as Maria was talking about, is 3D. We've got the markers on the joints and all over the body. There's probably around 37 markers-ish throughout the body. Whereas video tracking is a camera that's outside the body. Dancer doesn't wear anything. And that information that goes into from the camera into a computer, there's then software that is colorful and dynamic and responds to the dancer. And I have some video of that if anybody wants to see it later. Okay. All right, so let me now just show you a little quick piece of okay, so here's a little bit of Bluetooth. And I don't have the sound up.
Oh, you might.
Okay, let me just. Do you have a little bit of sound?
Yeah, there's a. Is that your sound? Or is that?
No, I don't think it's mine because I'm not plugged into it. Oh. Audio wise. Okay. All right, so I'm kind of walking through this to get to a certain spot. Where everything is in real time, some of it is, most of it is improvised. I'm calling the directives from the back. I want to get to a spot where you see some of the real time.
This is what's going on
during,
right?
This is on my end, right. Mark is, you know, not, he's at Southern California. But let me just get to a spot. There's the three screens. What one of the screens shows is the stage in. All right, let me just pause here for a second. So, the big screen is the composite view of California, both sites, and the other two screens are the stage. The top one is the stage in California, and the bottom one is. I can't remember what that one is. It might be just us. But the dancers need to know where they're at in the process. So we need to give them monitors. And I'm kind of calling the different scenes so that they can be on target with that. And John with the gray hair is manipulating some of the images that you'll see in just a minute.
But as I remember, it might be important to know that in Santa Cruz, there was an actual theater in New Orleans.
Right.
Whereas here you're just doing.
Right. Yes. We're almost set. Like this particular line, it has to be set because we want to fill. This is a cue for the people at the other site. When the people at the other site need to see this action so that they can walk through this passageway, and this was really hard to set up because the perspective of where we are is not the same as where they are. So it's completely flipped around. But they need these certain cues in order to be able to do what they need to do next. And here is, like, John is starting to manipulate the images of the dancers by sort of a video DJ, I guess you could say. And I'm going to fast forward just a little bit.
We probably should wrap up in just
a second.
Yeah,
I'm going to wrap up. So these are some of where it also goes, and we get more and more involved in the manipulation of the dancer's representation.
Because I remember you're getting two sets of interactive performances, and you're getting manipulations at both ends.
Right.
So it's almost a.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just what struck me about it was that. You're getting a manipulation that is multifaceted because it's not just a manipulation of what's happening forward, also what you're seeing in a lot of presence.
Right.
But you're getting a kind of four-way manipulation on top of the dual interaction.
Right.
It's very bizarre, but the visually is
here's the, what
quite rather extraordinary.
This is part of what the additional, the active space, which is the interactive material. This is called an echo burn. So dancer moves a little bit and then echoes throughout. Another dancer enters, presence, echoing. So we needed to have time for those pieces so the technology could respond as well to the movement. These dancers didn't have much time to work in it. They've had like 3 or 4 rehearsals before we could do this because there were so many different players involved in this. So I think if I had to do this over again, I would work a little bit differently with the movement vocabulary and the ideas. But in the meantime, it was kind of a very interesting experiment to do with them. I think I'll end just because there is a lot here. Okay?
Could you pass the video thing over? The adapter, just that.
I'm sorry, I went through that really fast. But
actually, I think that's right. Yeah.
You need both.
Yeah, both. Yeah. You were going to say something, Claire?
Oh, it was, we were talking about archiving before. You